Sunday, 3rd of July, 2011, Aleph Tammuz, Toshinayin Aleph, 2nd Irish Chodesh, Northampton Kolel, Shir given by Gershon Heppner on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Ches, Amrap to Pasuk Dalad. Shall I find that for you? Okay, so let's go through the Pasuk first. Muhulo Ekra Hashem, Umin Ovai Ivoshea. Now, exactly how you translate Mehula Lekra Hashem is a little bit of a tricky one. The art school have a small version of Tehillim, and in there they translate Mehula as with praises. So, Mehula Lekra Hashem, with praises I called to Hashem, or min ovai, and for my enemies, Ivoshea, I will be saved. However, that's how they translate it in the small Tehillim. With praises, Mehula with praises, but in this large Tehillim one, they translate it quite differently. They translate it as the one Mehulo, as the one who is praised. It's a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exactly. It's a passive form. He is praised. As the one who is praised, I call out to Hashem, Omin Ovai Ivoshea, and I'm saved from my enemies. So, and I actually find it easier to understand that second translation as the one who is praised, as there being an adjective to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mehulo, he is the one who is praised. Okay, so what exactly is the Pasuk referring to? So Rashi explains that David HaMelech is saying, I call to Hashem even, and I praise him, Mehulo, he's the one who is praised, and I call out to him even during times of peace. And therefore, Umin Ovai Ivoshea, and therefore I'm saved from my enemies in times of war. So the expression of Rashi is, Behilunim Ekra, I call out to him with praises, the Espal Elefonov Tomid, and I pray to him constantly. Kolomar, i.e., Aflifne Hatushua, even before salvation, Anim Halelo, I praise him. Why? Lefi, because Shebatua Chani, I am certain, Sheivoshea Meoivai, may thou be saved from my enemies. So, first comes these praises, calling out to Hashem with praises, that comes first, and I do that even when I'm not under any threat. And I say that because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me out in times of trouble.
How did they get that?
Probably because... The answer has to be that I don't know. Well, no, I do know. I do know. It comes from a Medrash. I'll show you the Medrash. It's a little bit odd because the norm might be considered as I'm in trouble from my enemies, therefore I call out to Hashem, therefore I'm saved. That might be a more normal chronological process. Yeah? That I only daven to Hashem when I'm in trouble from my enemies. Here, Rashi says, no. That's Pala Lefon of Tomid. I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, all the time. And why do I daven to him and I praise him? Because I know that I'm going to be saved. Then when I am attacked, indeed, I am saved. So I'm davening to Hashem and I'm praising him in the certainty that he will save me. Okay? That is how Rashi explains it. So based on this Rashi, the art scroll puts it very cleverly that the praise that I give Hashem is as a result of the salvation of which I am certain. I'm certain that I will be saved, and therefore I praise. That's how Rashi learns. The Radak learns differently. So far so good? Yeah? Clear on this? We'll come to it, we'll see where Rashi gets this from. The Radak learns, no. The expression of the Radak is, Kusha ani mispalel, when I praise, Ekra Hashem, I call Hashem Mehulol, I call him the praised one. And then later on the Ratak explains, Oz, then may Oivai Ivoshea, and then save for my enemies. In other words, and again the Ratak, the art scroll explains this piece of Ratak, that the salvation is as a result of my praise. So Rashi and the Ratak learn that the salvation and the praise are two opposites. According to Rashi, I am certain that I will be saved, and therefore I praise Hashem. The Radak says, no, I praise Hashem, and therefore I am saved. I'm certain that I'm going to be saved. Therefore, I praise Hashem. That's Rashi. Wasn't helped out.
This is conditional. I asked the question. In both cases, conditional.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be saved, and then I have been saved. You wouldn't praise the
Kenneth Owens? So it's happy token.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah, he's got bitachon, he's going to be saved, and therefore he's praising him. Alright, I don't know the answer.
It might be just the expression he uses. Don't read too much into it.
You've got to read a lot into it. Yeah. But I'll tell you the sources. If we go first to the source in the Medrash, you'll see where Rashi and the Radak get this from. It's brought in the Medrash Shechetov on this Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, here, Mehuno Ekra Hashem Meshubach Ekra Yosach, I will call you praised, Umeyoivai Ivoshea, and I will be saved from enemies. Here we have Machlekes. Rabbi Yudan says, Sareis HaMikra, chop up the Pasuk, Vidoshehu, and then explain it. In other words, don't understand the Pasuk in the sequence that the Pasuk has been written. And he learns as follows. Ivoshea min oivai, I'm going to be saved from my enemies, and therefore Ekra Hashem Shubach, and therefore I call him praised, he's the one who's praised, i.e. Kershatoshieni me oivai, when you save me from my enemies, therefore Ahalal Yosach, I will praise you. That is Rabbi Yudon. And Rabbi Yudon is learning like the Radak. When I am saved, then I will praise. That's how the Radak learns. Rav Huna, in the name of Rishim of Acho, says as follows. No, he says it compares it to the case of Yehoshaphat. Now, the story of Yehoshaphat is Yehoshaphat was attacked. Let's get this. It's in Divrei HaYomim Beis, and it's in chapter Nun. And let's get this on it. Divrei HaYomim Beis, chapter Chof, Pasuk Kaf Beis, where Yehoshaphat was attacked.
He was king, wasn't he?
Yes, he was the king. One minute. From Bnei Ammon and Moav. Yeah, Ammon and Moav attacked Yehoshaphat. We actually once quoted from this chapter in the past. And the Pasuk says that Vayamid Meshurim, here we are, it's in Divrayomim Beis, chapter Chof, Pasuk Chof Aleph, where the Pasuk says Vayamid Meshurim Lashem, Yehoshaphat established some singers to Hashem, Umahalulim Hajas Kodesh, and people to stand there praising the glory of Hashem's holiness. But says Lifnei Hecholot, when they went out before the in front of the soldiers, the Umim, what did they say? Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilolam Chasto. Now this is before the battle. Okay, Yehoshaphat organized Meshurim, singers, and Mahalalim, people to stand there praising Hashem before the battle. Okay, and they said, Hodel Hashem Kitu Kilim Chasto. And then the next prophet says, Uve'eis Hechelu Verina, and as soon as they started celebrating, Usehila and praising Hashem, Nosan Hashem Ma'arvim al Bnei Amenimav, Hashem placed an ambush against the people from Amenimav, the Harseye, etc. Vayino Gefu, and they were all wiped out. They were all smitten. In other words, Yehoshaphat praised Hashem for the impending victory before it ever happened. And this is how Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Acha, learns our pasuk. Rav Huna, back in the Medrash Shechetov, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha, Omar Klapi Yehoshaphat Amoro. David is speaking all about what happened with Yehoshaphat, where he says that the Hechelu Verina Sehila Nosan Hashem Arvim, the time as soon as they began to praise and celebrate, so Hashem sent an ambush against Ammon and Moab. She'ad shelo hayu sone'im bo'in alav, before the enemy ever descended upon Yehoshaphat, hayu emeshira, he was singing praises to Hashem. Vayu asenim nefilim lefanav, whereupon the enemies fell away. So here we have a machlokes. According to Rabbi Yudon, he says, once we have a victory, then I will praise. And that is learning like the Radak. The Radak says, I'm saved, and therefore I praise. Whereas in the Medrash of Hunan, the name of Rav Acha says, no, like Yehoshaphat praised before he won the war, so to this, what of this thing is, yeah, I call you Mehulal, I praise you Hashem, Ekra, I call out to you, and therefore, Minoizai Ivashea, and therefore I'm safe from my enemies. And that is how Rashi learns. I praise Hashem constantly before there are any problems, and then I'm saved, because I'm certain I'm going to be saved, and then indeed I am saved by from my enemies.
Okay, that's much more logical. But, I don't even say, therefore, you should say, I praise Hashem, and there will be a victory because I'm certain of it. But not therefore.
Not therefore. Okay. So you just don't like the word therefore. All right, I'll take the word therefore out.
Okay. It reminds me in the art school. It says, and when we say Rafa'in Hashem v'nei Rafa'i,
oh,
we ask Hashem to heal us before the illness strikes.
Ah,
it's like a preemptive thing.
Preemptive. And that's what you're
saying. Yeah, don't bring us illnesses, God forbid.
I think
this reminds me of this.
Yeah, it is similar. It's similar, but I'll tell you where I think the difference is. In Rafei, in Hashem v'nei Rafei, we are asking, that's a request, we're asking for a refuah.
Yeah.
We're not also celebrating.
Not also before it strikes.
Exactly, a tefillah, a preemptive tefillah. However, with Yehoshaphat, it wasn't a tefillah, it was praise. It's a slight difference.
Yeah.
Difference between a...
still before the event.
Before the event, absolutely. Praise before the event. Absolutely, praise before the event. Yeah.
It's a bit similar.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Now,
To call or to...
To cry out?
Yeah, or to cry out.
Yeah, you're hitting on quite a nerve there. Absolutely. We're going to see that, and the Malbim speaks about that, and someone else, I can't remember, will come across it, that there's almost a contradiction here. Mehulo is praising, Ekra is calling out in distress, and the two don't sit very comfortably together. And maybe that's why, that's how these Medrashim learn. That because they don't sit well, because Ekra is I'm calling out, that means I need help, but Mehulo means I'm praising, which is why it could be that's how Rav Huna in the Rav Acha learns, that I'll praise Hashem in the time of distress, in the certainty that I will be saved.
Well, I will call upon Hashem, the praiseworthy one, and then, as a result of that.
Could be. Yeah. It could be. Okay. Rabbi Shimshon Pinchas, on this passage, Shimshon Pinchas, which there's a sefer brought out from his shiurim on Tehillim, and my children, knowing about this shiur, gave it to me as a birthday present 2 years ago. So, thank you, children. So, Shimshon Pinchas quotes a pasuk in a different pasuk in Divrei Yomim. This is in Divrei Yomim, base chapter Yud Gimel, and it's pasuk Tesvav. There, we're told of the war that took place, civil war, between Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Beis David, Malchus Yehuda, as we would call it. Then, so the pasuk there describes there's a war between Aviyah, who is the king of Yehuda, and Yerovam, who is the king of Yisrael. Terrible, terrible war took place, civil war between the two. And before the war took place, Aviyah addressed Yerovam and his army. And he said to them, basically, you're Rashoim, you worship Avodah Zorah, you stop people from going to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov, you're a rotten bunch. And due to Shiva, and you stopped all Karbonos, we're the ones, we're flying the flag for true Yiddishkeit, we continue with the Beis HaMikdash, we've got proper Kohanim, we've got proper Karbonos, we light the menorah properly, we do things correctly, you're the ones who are destroying Yiddishkeit, and if you dare have a war with us, believe you me, you don't stand a chance, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is definitely going to be on our side. You worship Avodah Zorah, we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take my advice, don't fight us because you're going to lose. Yeroboam's response to that was to encircle Avia's army, front and back. And Avia was completely surrounded on all sides, and he'd have to fight a war on two fronts. And it was a difficult situation. Well, what was his reaction? Divayomim base, chapter Yud Gimel, Posuk Tesvov. This is again before the war. Vayoriu ish Yehuda. The people of Yehuda shouted. It's also an expression of celebration. Vayihin it was, Vahariya ish Yehuda, when the people of Yehuda shouted, Vohelekim nogaf es Yerovam chal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped out or smote Yerovam and all of Yisrael, that's Malchus Yisrael, lefnei Avia, the Yehuda, in front of Avia and Yehuda. They shouted. What was this shouting about? So Avia and his army shouted, whereupon Yerovam was indeed destroyed, as Avia had predicted. Says the Metzudas Dovid, Vayoriu, they shouted. What is this shouting about? Says the Metzudas Dovid, Teruas Nitzachon. This is a shouting, or it can also mean a shofar blast, of victory before the war. Ki Botchu Vashem, because they trusted in God, Sheyenatzchu HaMilchama, that he would win the war for them. Or that they would win the war. They trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So great was their certainty that Hashem would save them, that they celebrated before the war ever took place. They were celebrating their victory. That's how Mitzvah Dovid learns as possibly. They were celebrating before the war. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus likens it to our Pasuk. He says it's what we have in our Pasuk as well. That it is feasible that for Dovid to celebrate his victories before they ever happened. And that is learning like Rashi learns. That I daven in advance and I praise Hashem in advance and then I'm saved. And that is indeed learning like Rav Huna in the name Rav Acha in the Medrash Shofetot.
That's true
b'tochen. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I've got complete faith in you.
I'm celebrating now.
So you might as well now, do
you? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah?
We know.
Yeah. Right, the Malbim brings on your point about Mehulal not being the same as Ekra. Mehulal is praising, Hashem is praised, and Ekra is I'm calling out. And it seems almost to be a contradiction in terms. And I'm not sure if I fully understand, but it's very similar to what we learned before. He's saying, I refer to Hashem as Mehulal, the one who is praised. I give Hashem this nomenclature. Ah.
Logic.
I call him the Mahulo. I call him the praised one. That's it. I call him the praised one. And I do that, says the Malbim, when I'm in no trouble at all. That is when I call him the Mahulo, when I call him the praised one. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu averts all disasters for me. And then I never get myself into trouble. So Mahulal, he is the praised one. And that's why I give him that appellation. I call him the praised one. Yeah. The art scroll brings a beautiful pshat here from a sefer called Nir LeDavid. I haven't seen the sefer. I don't know who wrote the sefer. From Nir LeDavid, he says, "Umin oivai ivoshea," and from my enemies I will be saved. Says the Nir LeDavid, "May oivai, my very salvation comes from the enemies." What does that mean? He says that the enemies are my own enemies. They're the ones who give me from whom my enemies are the ones who are the source of my salvation. What does that mean? He quotes it from Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yedzayin, Pasuk Nun Aleph, which is when David fought Goliath. And the Pasuk there says, Vayorot David, once he'd knocked him down, once David had knocked Goliath down, Vayorot David ran, Vayamid el HaPlishti, he ran up to the Philistine, Goliath, he took his sword. That means he took Goliath's sword, Vayishlefa Mitaro, he took it out of its sheath, Vayimosesehu, and he killed him. He killed Goliath with Goliath's sword. That's Umin Oivai Ivoshea. I am saved from the assets or from the resources of my own enemies. I used the sword of Goliath to kill Goliath. That's it seems not. It seems that the stone knocked him down.
Yeah, that's all it did. Yeah.
And that rendered him. It seems that it was when David. And then it says, "Why you must deceive?" He killed him. And then it says, Vayichros Boris Rosheh, then he cut off his head. So it seems that cutting off the head wasn't the death blow, nor was the stone the death blow. The stone was also not the death blow. The stone, it seems from this, knocked him out. Right? He fell on his says earlier, it's in Pasuk Nun in the chapter Yudzayin in Shmuel Aleph. He fell forward. He fell forward. He fell forward to save David the trouble of having a long distance, an even longer distance to run to him. And then David killed him. By Moses say he killed him with Goliath's sword. And then Vayichos Boris Rosho. Then with that sword he cut off the head of Goliath. So he learns that Umin Ovai Ivashea, my very salvation comes from my own enemies. That's how he brings it in here.
His head off sounds a bit bloodthirsty.
It does. But you know, the people needed the reassurance.
It's a Jewish thing to do.
No, it's not at all Jewish. But it doesn't seem Jewish. Not Kvod Hametz. But, yeah. No, it's not Kvod Hametz, especially not to be said. But, he needed the proof. They were petrified of Goliath. He'd been taunting them. He'd caused this enormous Chilul Hashem. You know, you Jews, you really have a God? If you really have a God, then you won't be scared to fight me, will you? So come on then, who's going to find me? And no one dared. So it's a Chil Hashem.
Other instances of cutting off the head.
Yehudah. It was to reassure Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
My knees. Yes, I'm sure. Now, if you go back, if you come
sack with him too, I suppose, to get the head on.
Okay. Now, if you compare our pasuk to the pasuk that you've got there in Shmuel Beis. Right, the parallel pasuk, we always compare the pesukim in Tehillim Yudches to the pesukim in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and there you'll find it's pasuk Dalet there as well, and it's almost the same. Mehulo ekro Hashem, ume oivai ivoshea. And for my, I call God the praised one, ume oivai, and for my enemies, ivoshea, I will be saved. We're now comparing it with the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. Right? So you've got to go back. Have you got that there? Norman, have you got it? Here, take this one. Let's take this one. You've got to see it because seeing is believing. Pasuk Dalet up there. Right? The only difference is, in fact, the Neginas are the same. The only difference is in our Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Umin Oivai Ivoshea. Whereas there in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Umin Oivai. I'm sorry. Umei Oivai Ivoshea. You mean?
Okay.
Oh, really? Up there, Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk 4, right there, Mehulo. Goes across the. Yeah? Mehulo Ekra Hashem. Umei Oivai Ivoshea. Our Pasuk has got Umin Oivai Ivoshea. And there it's got Umei Oivai Ivoshea. And of course, they both actually have identical translations. And from my enemies. The difference between, so the Abba Benel explains, what's the difference between Umin Oivai, which we've got, and Umei Oivai?
It doesn't say that.
No. He's got an enormous chiddush. He says that the word Umei Oivai could be misunderstood. Mm. It's open to misunderstanding. The mem at the beginning of a word usually means from. But it can also be used as a relative comparison between two things. So you can say, for example, Reuven Godol Me Shimon. Which means, it's comparing, means that Reuven is bigger than Shimon. Yeah? Says the Abba Banel in Shmuel Beis that Umei Oivai could be misunderstood to mean, Umei Oivai Ivoshea could mean, I am saved more than my enemies are. And in order to avoid that, when David rewrote this chapter for Tehillim, he changed it to Umin Oivai. And it's no longer quite the same, it's no longer can be understood as a comparison. It can no longer mean, and I will be saved more than my enemies. It simply means, and from my enemies I will be saved. That's how the Abba Avner learns it. It's actually really Kiddush. And he quotes the Pasuk in Vezos HaBracha, Baruch Mi Bonim Asher, Pasuk in Vezos HaBracha, it's Devarim chapter Lamed Gimel, Kaf Dalet, where the pasuk says, "Ula Osher Omar Baruch Mibonim Osher." Osher is blessed more than other sons. That word, the mem at the beginning of Mibonim, does not mean from; it means more than. Yeah, that's how the Abraham Benel knows it. Okay, then the Abraham Benel also goes on our pasuk to
clarified it.
Absolutely, thank you. I should have said that word. Clarified it, avoiding the confusion. In as it stands in Shmuel Beis, yes, it could be understood, I will be saved more than my enemies.
Saved, but I'm saved more than.
More than, exactly. And yes, and so now possibly changed it to Umin. Yeah.
So, no, from my enemies, I'm saved.
From my enemies, I will be saved. That's right. I will be saved from my enemies. That's right. Okay. The Abraham Benel goes on to say, quotes a pasuk, he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom of the pasuk. Dorash Rasamloi Laulam Yisada Adam Shvachu Shalakod Shbaruchu. A person should first set out when he's davening to Hashem. He should first set out the praise for Hashem. V'achakach Yispalel, and then he should make his requests to Hakod Shbaruchu. First we praise him, and then we make our requests. And he learns it from Moshe at the beginning of Parshas Vayeschanan, Vayeschanan al Hashem Vayeschahi, where he says, Hashem elikim atachilos to laharis es avdocha es godocha vesiotcha achazokha, Hashem ikeo bashamayim uva oretz, Hashem yasech maasecha vichy gevurosecha. First, Moshe praises Hashem, who is like you, and you do such amazing things and such strength. And then after that, it says, Eberonov eres oretz hatova, Moshe makes his request to go be allowed into Eretz Yisrael.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is why the Gemara brings it there. When we daven the Amidah, our first three brachas are praises for Hashem, and only then, exactly, we firstly praise Hashem, and then we set out the, and then we set out our requests, which are the most of the remaining brachas.
But praises were not conditional.
Yeah, so he says our pasuk reflects all this, because he says Mehulal Ekro Hashem, I call God the praised one, and that's praising. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. First comes Mehulal, praising Hashem, and then comes Ekro, then comes calling out. So that's how the Abravanel in Shmuel Beis explains our pasuk. First comes Mehulal, first we praise Hashem, and having praised Hashem, then there is Ekra, then there's calling out with requests.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. The Yalkut Miam Loes on our pasuk quotes a sefer called Mikdosh Ma'at, which quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis tells the story. The Gemara there is extolling the virtues of Reb Chia and his children, and the Gemara there brings a story of a time when there was no rainfall, and Rebbe made a gezerah of a tanis. Let's get this. Gazar Rebbe tanisa. Rebbe once decreed there should be a tanis because of lack of rain, and when it came to davening, achasimhu l'Reb Chia ovonov. He put Reb Chia and his children, and it seems there were two children, at the Omud to daven. So Reb Chia and his two sons should lead davening. Now, in case you're puzzled, why do we have three Baalei Tefillah? Normally we only have one. So Tosfos, just on the next page, Bava Metzia, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, quotes a Medrash Tanchuma, which I've not looked up, which says that on a Tanis we have three Baalei Tefillah. Yeah, so there we are. So he put Reb Chia and his two sons at the Omud. Omar, when it came to the Chazas Hashat, Omar Mashivah Ruach, as soon as he said Mashivah Ruach, V'noshivah Zika, the wind began to blow. Omar Merit HaGoshem, and since he said Merit HaGoshem, V'osa Mitra, the rain fell. In other words, he got an instant response. Such were the powers of Reb Chia and his children, that as soon as they opened their mouths and they davened, they got an instant response.
Are they davening simultaneously, the three of them?
No, it seems not, because Omar is in the singular. It seems there were three Baalei Tefillah, but only one of them is going to Chazas Hashatz. So they were, I guess, they were just standing at the front in order to lead generally. Yes, supportive, exactly.
Father probably davening the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's learned from the Tosfos that learns it from Moshe when Klal Yisrael fought Amalek and Aaron and Hur were supporting his arms. And it was a war, and of course at times of war Klal Yisrael fast. Yeah? And we know that from Tanis Esther. We fast in commemoration of the war that Klal Yisrael had to fight against the Haman and his gang. So
like a mezuzah in a way.
Three people. Yes, extra chesed there. Yeah, it's true. So the Alchemy of Moses explains in our pasuk as well that Mehulal Ekra Hashem, the instant that I call Hashem, the Praised One, immediately umin ovai ivoshea, and immediately saved by from my enemies. And he says he likens it to Abchenis children who got this instant response when they davened. That's the Alchemy of Moses. The Sefer Maskil Le'Eson, which my son Yaakov Chaim tracked down.
I had a great Zechuyah's great merits.
Rebchir. Yeah, absolutely. So the Sefer Maskil Le'Eson, written by Rabbi Avrom Halimi, who came from Algeria. And my son Yaakov Chaim tracked down the Sefer. He has a knack for tracking down amazing Sefer. And he says there that David HaMelech is saying, David HaMelech is saying, Mehulal Ekra Hashem, I praise Hashem even after Umin Ovai Ivoshea, even after I'm saved from my enemies. And he points out that, in other words, don't understand the pasuk in chronological sequence. I praise Hashem even after Umin Ovai Vashay, even after I've been saved by my enemies. And what's the significance of that? He says, not like the Umas Olam, not like the other nations of the world. And he cites as an example Paro. In Parashat Va'ira, which is Shemos chapter Ches, pasuk Yud Aleph, which is at the end of the plague of the Tzfardea, Vayar Paro ki hoisa haravacha. Paro saw that there was some respite once the Sephardim had gone away. Vahachbidus libo, he hardened his heart for the Shamalem. He wasn't going to listen to. He didn't listen to Moshe and Aaron. Tashid v'Hashem exactly as Hashem had foretold. So here the Maskil Le'Eson says David is saying, I'm not like Paro, I'm not like the Umas Olam, that once the danger has passed we stop praising Hashem. No, on the contrary, I praise Hashem long after the dangers have passed, not like the Umas Olam. Now in the Sefer called Eretz HaChaim, which is a Sefer written by a grandson of the Sma on Tehillim, he comes out with some beautiful, beautiful pshat. He quotes a Gemara in Pesachim. Let's take a look first at the Gemara, then you'll see how it fits into our passage. The Gemara says,
so if the Goyim, if something good happens to them, they forget Hashem, so to speak.
That's what the Sefer Maskil Le'Eson was saying. But David says, I'm not the same. I'm not the same, says David. I praise Hashem. I still praise you even after the dangers have passed. Absolutely. So listen to this Gemara, which is quoted by the Sefer Eretz HaChaim. It's in Pesachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, the Gemara is explaining the pasuk Vayashem Lemelech Al Kol Haaretz Vayemahu Hashem Echad Ushemer Echad. On that day, Hashem will be one, and His name will be one, which is a pasuk in Zechariah chapter Yud Dalet. Vayem Hahu Yehia Hashem Echad. He will be one. And His name will be one. What does that mean? His name will be one and He'll be one. So the Gemara explains it. It's right at the end of the peric here. Pesachim Nun Amud Aleph. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Lo ke olam hazeh ha olam haba. Olam haba is not like olam hazeh. Ha olam hazeh, here on this world, nichtav, the name of Hashem is written, the yud kei. It's written a yud, then a hey, then a vav, then a hey. Yud kei vav kei. V'nikra, but it is read ba'alef dalad. It's read as though it says alef dalad nun yud. That's how we read it. It's a kriyasiv. It's written yud kei vav kei, but we read it alef dalad nun yud. Yeah, that's how we read it. That's what we do here in olam hazeh. Aval olam haba, but in olam haba kulo echad nikra. It's all the same. I'm sorry. Kulo echad. Avol le'olam abo, kulo echad. But le'olam abo, it's all one. What does that mean? Nikra v'yud kei, v'nichtav v'yud kei. it is read the way it is written. It's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and in Olam Haba it is read Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a word that we never say, right? We never read that Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it's written. In Olam Hazeh, we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Over in Olam Haba, it's read as Yud Kei Vav Kei as well. That's the Gemara Misfachet Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Oh.
It's completely a different dimension. Olam
different Olam dimension, Olam exactly. Olam Haba, it's by Yom Ha'hu.
What happens here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. By Yom Ha'hu, Yiyah Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad. The name is one. It is read the way it is written. Here, it says that we've got two names for Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the way it's written, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the way it's read. But by Yom Ha'hu, Hashem Echad Shem Echad, on that day in Olam Haba, it's read precisely the same way it is written, i.e. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, first of all, he quotes a sefer called Sha'ari Ora, who explains the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Lamed, Pesukim Aleph and Beis, which we know very well, we said them this morning. In Tehillim, chapter Kuf Lamed, from the very beginning of that chapter, Pesukim Aleph and Beis, from the depths I call you Hashem. Hashem Shema Vekoli. Hashem listens to my voice. The Enoznachal Kashvos Kol Tachnono. Your ears should be receptive and listening to the sound to my voice of supplication. Now, Mimamakim Kerosicha Hashem. Mimamakim Kerosicha Hashem. That name of Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. The next pasuk Bey says, Hashem Shema Vekoli. Now that word Hashem is written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Bit of a difference. So he says, how does it work? He says, when we, here in Olam Hazeh, when we read the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say, it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, we read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but we are meant to have Kavona of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud Kei Vav Kei comes from the Shoresh Hey Yud Hey, which is to be, and we're meant to think of Hashem in the past tense, present tense, and eternal future tense. That He always was, and He is, and He always will be. That's so. Although we read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, what's going on in the depths of our heart is Yud Kei Vav Kei. We are thinking Yud Kei Vav Kei. So he says, that's why it says, Mima Amakim, from the depths of my heart, Kerosicha, I call you Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem. Because what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem, Shema V'Koli, but Hashem, listen to my voice. What is my voice saying? My voice is saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That's why the first Shem Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. Mima Amakim Kerosicha Hashem. The second name of Hashem, Hashem Shema V'Koli, is written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You see the difference? Because that's Hashem Shema V'Koli, listen to my voice. My voice is saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Okay?
I'm pronouncing your name.
I'm pronouncing your name as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah? That's, now he quotes that from the Sefer Shari Ora. That's it. Now, says that's, he quotes from the Sefer Shari Ora. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, he's quoted that actually from earlier in, that he's got a reference then, his Sefer, to earlier on in Tehillim. I suspect it's chapter Gimel or chapter Dalet. I forgot to write it down. But then he adds, in the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, he adds that Aleph Dalet Nun Yud has the gematria, Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, Nun and Yud is 50 plus 10, it gives you the total gematria is 65. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is gematria 65. Yeah? And our pasuk says, Mehulo Ekra Hashem. Mehulo could be read as May from Hey Lamed Lamed Ekra Hashem. Hey Lamed Lamed, which is the gematria 65, which is the same gematria as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Ekra Yud Kei Vav Kei. How do I read Yud Kei Vav Kei? Yeah, Ekra Hashem. How do I read Yud Kei Vav Kei? I read it May from Hey Lamed Lamed, which is gematria 65, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You're right with that, Louis? Yeah. Yes, of course. Follow it in the pasuk Mehulo Ekra Hashem. Ekra Hashem I read Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah. How do we read Yud Kei Vav Kei? Ekra Hashem. How do we read it? We read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And Aleph Dalet Nun Yud has a gematria 65. Hey lamed lamed, as in the word mahulo, the hey lamed lamed also has got a gematria 65. So he interprets the pasuk to be may from hey lamed lamed 65, i.e. aleph dalad nun yud, which is also 65, ekra Hashem. That's how I read yud kei vav kei. Here in Olam Hazeh, we read Yud Kei Vav Kei as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is represented by the letters Hey Lamed Lamed, which has got the Gematria 65. Yeah? So far so good? Okay? Yeah, now, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky. Oh, you're a Dushinsky chassid? Yeah?
I'm not.
Well, you should be. Right.
He was in the Yerushalayim, the old city, wasn't he? The old city.
Yes. Yes, I believe so, yeah. Yeah. Beautiful Sefer Tehillim, small Sefer Tehillim. Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, on our pasuk, Mehulol Ekra Hashem, he defines this way. He says, what does the word Mehulol actually mean? And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Aleph, pasuk Kafbeis, where the pasuk speaks about the downfall of Klal Yisrael. Yeshaya is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, times of Churban, how terrible Klal Yisrael are. Says the pasuk then in Shai, chapter out of pasuk kaf beis, kaspeich hayolus sigim. Your money is coated. It looks silver, but it's not silver. It's got a silver coating on it, but it's actually underneath. It's much cheaper metal underneath. In other words, you're fraudulent. The Klal Yisrael, you're fraudulent, and you're not what you say you are. Your money has been coated. And the second half of the pasuk is what we really want. Sov'eich, your wine, mohul b'moyim, is diluted with water. It looks like wine, but it's really heavily diluted with water. In other words, you are of very low quality. Your money is low quality, your wine is low quality. Sov'eich, mohul b'moyim, your wine is diluted with water. Mixed up, really. Mixed up with water. The word mohul really means mixed up. Says Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, the word in our pasuk of mehulol ekra Hashem does not mean praised. It means mixed up. Yeah. Mehulol ekra Hashem. I call to Hashem even if I am mehulol, even if I'm a bit mixed up and confused. What does it mean? So he explains as follows. He quotes a Medrash Rabba. Now Medrash Rabba is... The Medrash Rabba explains the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, chapter base, pasuk Dalet. Let me get my Shir HaShirim first. Here we are. Right. Then we'll come on to the Medrash in a minute. Medrash Rabba, I'm sorry, Shir HaShirim, chapter base, pasuk Dalet says, Heviyani el beis hayoyin, you Hashem, you brought me to the house of wine, which is reference to HaSinai, where the Torah was stored, like wine is stored, long term. V'diglo olai ahava, and his flag is upon me with love. What does that mean? It's a reference to the way Klal Yisrael traveled through the desert in glory with their flags, each tribe with their flags, the Diglo Alai Ahava. Now the Medrash Rabba takes this phrase, the Diglo Alai Ahava, and explains it with a play on words. The Diglo Alai Ahava says the Medrash Rabba, and you'll find this Medrash Rabba, it's in Bamidbar, and it's based Oath base, where explains there from Rabbi Yisachar. Rabbi Yisachar Omer, V'diglo alai ava. How does he explain V'diglo alai ava? Your flag is upon me with love. Afilu adam yoshev v'osek b'Torah. Even if a person sits and is learning Torah, umedaleg, and skips words. Mehalocha lahalocha, and he skips a bit out. He goes from one halocha to the next, and he's a bit jumbled up. Umipasuk lafosuk, and he doesn't get the halochas right, and he doesn't get his pasukim right. He's a bit jumbled up in the way he's learning, and the way Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky explains, he's also a bit jumbled up in the way he might daven. Person davens, and his davening does not come out well. Nonetheless, Omar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's response is Chaviv Hu Alai. He's beloved to me. He's got it all wrong. He's got his learning wrong. He's got his davening wrong. No matter. He's beloved. Why? V'diglo Alai Ahava, which the Medrash defines V'dilugo Alai Ahava. Dilug is to skip. Skip bits out. Even if he skipped bits out, Alai Ahava, I have love for him, says Hashem. Medalig. Medalig, yes, it was. Medalig al Harim. Medalig al Harim, thank you. The Kabbalah verse, yeah. Oh, so the Dilugo alayavo, we learn the Diglo as the Dilugo. He's skipping out. Even if he skips bits out when he's learning and his learning is not high quality, and if his davening is not high quality, nonetheless, Chaviv Hu Alai, he's beloved to me. Says Rav Yosef Sudashinsky, this is echoed in our pasuk. Mehulo Ekro Hashem. And he learns that Mehulo is the same word as Mohul, as in that pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter Aleph Pasuk Kaf Beis. Sovich Mohul Bamoim, your wine is mixed up with water. He says, even when I am Mehulo, even when I am mixed up in my learning or in my davening, Ekra Hashem, I still call to Hashem, and I'm still saved from my enemies. That's how Rabbi Yosef Sudashinsky, isn't that beautiful? Yeah? Now, when I was discussing Matilim Sheh with one of our rebbes in school, Rabbi Avrom Yust, and he said to me, oh, he says, you've got to see the on the pasuk at the very end of Tehillim chapter Yud-Tes. Our next chapter, which finishes off with Yehi Leratzon Imrei Fi. Let's get it here. I don't want to get it wrong. It's Tehillim chapter Yud, Tes Pasuk Tes Vav. Yehi Leratzon Imrei Fi Ve'Egun Libi Lefanecha. The words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart should be Leratzon, pleasurable to you, before you. Hashem Tzvi V'Goli, Hashem is my rock and my savior, redeemer. Says the Medrash Shulchan Aruch on Medrash Shulchan Aruch on Tehillim chapter Aleph. He quotes as follows. There are a few different gersos in this Medrash. I'm taking it from the Shul one here because it gives a very strange explanation. The words of my mouth should be pleasant to you before you, Hashem. Yeyosu ledoros. David is saying, I would like my words to last for all generations. V'yikosu ledoros. My words of Tehillim should be written for all generations. Imrei fi, the words of my mouth should be written for all generations. V'yechokukuluderis, and they should be inscribed for all time, for all generations. Now listen to this, you get surprised. V'lo yiyu korim bohem, people should not read Tehillim, kakorin, like people who read Besifrei Meiros, like people who read the books of Meiros. Who is Meiros? Homer. Homer, author of the Iliad and the Odyssey.
Greek.
Now, I couldn't get this. What's going on? Homer, David's talking about Homer. Surely David predated Homer. He must have. I looked it up in the encyclopedias. I consulted quite a few encyclopedias. The one encyclopedia said that the dates of Homer are completely unknown. Nobody has a clue when he lived. Here we are. Yeah. Now, David died in the year 2924, which is 2,847 years ago. One encyclopedia gave that Homer lived approximately 2,700 years ago. Later. Okay, about 100 years later. Yeah. About 150 years later. Okay. A bit close. And another encyclopedia, we just said we don't know when Homer died. Oh, when Homer lived. It's completely lost in the mists of time. Nobody knows. So David attenuates is saying here, so it's interesting, right? So David says, I would like people to use my book of Tehillim, not just to read it like people read the works of Homer, but to read it, to read them properly. Elobat, now here comes the punchline. Yehu Kohen Ben, they should read the books of Tehillim, for notes lim socha aleim, they should receive rewards over them, ki negoim v'ohalos, like negoim and ohalos. Two mesechtes mishnayos, negoim and ohalos, all about tum and taro. People should receive reward for them. So like when you learn Mishnayos Negoim and you learn Mishnayos Olos, you receive reward. Likewise, when you learn my book of Tehillim, says David, I would like Klal Yisrael to receive reward for that. Okay? Said Rabbi Avrom Yust to me, more to it than that. He says, what happens in a case of a negar, in a case of a person's got tzaras? He calls in the Kohen to inspect, and the Kohen makes his pronouncement, Tome or Toher, or I'm not sure, right? And they put him away for another week. We have to judge it in a week. Now, that Kohen could be the biggest Amha Oretz. His pronouncement is efficacious. His pronouncement works. If he says Tome, that man is Tomei. If it says Tahor, the man is Tahor. Even if he's got, even if the Kohen has read the signs of the Tzara'as wrongly, his pronouncement stands, Tomei or Tahor. Yeah? So Rabbi Avraham Yosef said to me, this is what David HaMelech is saying, people should read through Tehillim, and even if they don't understand what they're talking about, even if they don't understand the Pesukim, the like the pronouncement of a Kohen Am HaOretz is efficacious, the words of Tehillim should also be efficacious and the Tefillah should work. Like Nagoy Manolis, like the Kohen who might not know the Halacha, but his pronouncement works.
Tehillim is somebody who's not well.
Yeah, even if you don't understand what you're saying.
Like, oh, Tehillim.
It's Tehillim, and the Tehillim itself should work, it's magic. Yeah, exactly, should bring him out of whatever you're dumbing for. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So he said, and that goes very well with our Pasuk, Mehulo Ekra Hashem, with this Pshat of Reb Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, Mehulo Ekra Hashem, even if I call out, even if I daven to Hashem, Mehulo, Mohul, in a dilute, mixed up manner, it should still be my davening should still be efficacious, it should still be effective. Yeah. And it reminds me of a story that Rabbi Kupi Zechasabi Bracha told me that, and you, Johnny, with your Hasidish blood in you, you'll really respond to this. That the Baal Shem Tov had a Beis Medrash, and next to the Beis Medrash, he had a small room where his closest of Talmidim would be with him. And on one occasion, he was sitting with his closest of Talmidim in the small room, next to the big Beis Medrash, and he was giving them a share. He was giving his Talmidim, his Chassidim a share. And suddenly, they all heard a choir, the like of which, the beauty of which, you can't imagine. A most magnificent choir. And they were all very stirred by this, and it sounded like a heavenly choir. And the words that the choir was singing were the words of Tehillim. So the Baal Shem Tov said to his Chassidim, who do you think that is? We can all hear this heavenly choir singing magnificently the words of Tehillim. Who do you think is in the choir? So the Chassidim all said, there's got to be Malachim. This is the Malachim singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through your Madrigo, Rebbe, through your Madrigo, you were able to bring this sound down to us, and we were able to eavesdrop on a choir of Malachim singing Tehillim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said the Baal Shem Tov, no, this is not Malachim singing. What you can now hear is the sound of the man next door in the Beis Medrash. Next door, in the Beis Medrash, is a simpleton. A man, he's an Am HaOretz, he doesn't know much. He comes to the Beis Medrash every day and he recites Tehillim. And he doesn't understand a word of what he's saying. But he's very firm about it. He knows it's good to say Tehillim, and so he says it. He doesn't have a clue what he's saying. He doesn't understand a word of it. The sound that we can now hear is the sound of his Tehillim when it reaches the Kisei HaKavod. Down here on earth, he's just mumbling words. He doesn't understand what he's saying. But when those words reach Shamayim, they are transformed into a heavenly choir. Isn't that beautiful? I get emotional over this. It's beautiful, right? Yeah. So that goes beautifully with our pasuk, Mohula Lekra Hashem. Mohula Lekra Hashem. The pshat given by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi, even when I call out to Hashem, Mohulo, and it's all jumbled up, Dilugo, Dilug, I skip words and I don't get it right. Nevertheless, it's Choviv Alai. Hashem says, Choviv Alai, this man is beloved to me. Yeah, I'm going to show that story. Yeah, good. That is the pshat given. So that's the pshat given there by Rabbi Yosef Tzvi.
You said it's still beloved to Hashem.
Yeah,
the words.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because of the feeling behind it.
Yes, correct. Correct. We're close to finish. We've got a few more pshatim to go, and then we'll finish the whole pasuk. Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta go. All right. Yeah. If you need to go, go. I'll give you. All right. Okay. All right. Sefer Zera Yaakov, written by this mishpacha of Eli Pick. He quotes from the Shlah. He says that when one is faced by one's enemy, one should do one's best to broker a peace treaty with them. Shalom. Try and broker a peace treaty with them. And shalom is is very much beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, all the very famous Mamre Chazal, Godol HaSholem, peace is great, and so on. And the Mishnah, where we always make a Siyam on Shas, the Mishnah HaShas, Ein Keli Machzik Brocha LiYisrael HaSholem, the last Mishnah of Uktzim, that the Keli that contains the most Brocha for Klal Yisrael is the Keli of Sholem, if there's peace. He says, if an enemy comes to you, you should try to negotiate peace with them. That's
like Jewish enemy.
He doesn't say, and therefore probably not. And he says, it's a skula to deal with one's enemy is liftach imo b'shalom, to try and open a peace negotiations with them. Like he learns it from Yaakov. He says, how Yaakov did when Esau was on the warpath. Right, Esau came to him, and Yaakov, he sent him all these gifts, and he davened, and he sent the gifts, and then he tried, and he went to him, and he made shalom with Esau, a peace treaty of some sort, and then he averted a bloodbath. Yeah? So he says, peace, we know, is very much praised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mehulo ekro Hashem. When I'm in a situation of my enemies, Umin oivai, when I'm ivashea, when I need a salvation from my enemies, what should I do? Muhulo ekra Hashem. I should call out that which is praised by Hashem. What is praised by Hashem? Shalom is praised by Hashem. When I'm in a situation of facing my enemies, umin oivai ivashea, how can I guarantee I'll be saved from my enemies? By muhulo ekra Hashem. I'll call out that which is mehulo, that which is praised by Hashem. He's taken the pasuk a little bit out of context of the rest of the pshat he gives there. In other words, I should try and negotiate that which is praised, negotiate with an enemy, that which is praised by Hashem. What is that? Shalom. Yeah. That's how he learns it, yeah?
The names of Hashem also, Shalom.
Yes.
Hashem's
name. One of them is Hashem, yes.
Which is interesting too.
Yeah, yeah. Shalom. That's why you can't use the word shalom in a swimming pool. You can't call to someone if you're in a swimming pool or a mikveh or a toilet or anything like that, or a bathroom, and there's someone there called shalom, you can't call them by name.
I come here, shalom.
Yeah, yeah. Hi, shalom. Hi. Yeah, yeah. Hey, splashing around in a swimming pool. Hi, shalom. You can't do that. It's one of the names of Hashem. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've got this bit right. Now, from the safe, let's say, something from a sefer called Vayichal Moshe. He says that every letter of the Aleph base is a combination of, or contains a reference to Hashem's name. He doesn't go through every single letter of the Aleph base, but he says every letter of the Aleph base has some reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the letter. And he gives a sample, and a sample is the letter Resh. I don't know why he chose the letter Resh, but he says, for example, Resh, if we spell the word Resh, if we spell out each letter of the word Resh, Resh is Resh Yud Shin. Okay? So, Resh Yud Shin. Resh is spelled Resh Yud Shin. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, and Shin is Shin Yud Nun. Now, the middle letter of each of those, the middle letter of Resh Yud Shin is Yud, the middle letter of Yud, Yud Vav Dalet is Vav, and the middle letter of Shin Yud Nun is a Yud again. And the middle letter of each of them, Yud plus Vav plus Yud, gives you the Gematria 26, which is the Gematria of Yud, K Vav K. Okay? So he says every letter of the Aleph base contains some references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who learns it. So he says, Mehulo, when I, let me get this right, yeah, every time I'm doing any kind of davening or talking to Hashem or learning, using the combinations of letters of the Aleph base, which gives us the language that we call Hebrew, every one of them is Mehulo Ekra Hashem. Every one of them serves as a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because every single letter of the Aleph base contains a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Mehulo Ekra Hashem. Whenever I'm calling out, in other words, or whenever I'm davening, or whenever I'm learning, it's always something Mehulo, it's always some praise Hashem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he learns it. And he says it's also Peshat in Melech Mehulo Batish Bochos. The king who is, as we say in davening, Melech Mehulo Batish Bochos, the king who is praised through tishbachas, through praises. The expression he says is, Sha'aburei Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, Ba'atzmo, he himself, Me'urov, he is mixed up, he is contained within, Umuhulo, and he is praised, Besochat tishbachas, within all the praises, Sha'ani Meshabchim, the praises that I say to him, each letter contains within itself some reference and some praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he learns it. He learns that into the phrase Mohullah Lekra Hashem. Two more small things. One from the Sephorno, who says, he quotes a Medrash, and I couldn't track the Medrash down. And he says as follows, Mohullah Lekra Hashem, when I, David, praise Hashem, then Umin Oivai Vashaya, I'm saved by my enemies, says the Medrash, I'll give you the quote from the Sephorno. Ka'omram zichon lebracha, as Chachamim say, il mole osak batura. If David had not studied Torah, lo osa Yoav milchama, then his general Yoav would not have been able to do war. What empowered Yoav to fight the battles of David was David's learning. So David was learning, and that gave power to David, to Yoav, to Yoav to fight. And he says that these are the two halves of our pasuk. Mohullah lekra Hashem, while I, David, am calling out to Hashem in davening and in learning, uminoi vayivasher, Yoav is winning the wars for me. That's how the Sephorno learns. And the Al-Sheikh has an interesting chiddush as well. Now, quickly, Al-Sheikh verbatim. Says the Al-Sheikh, is bothered by the fact that the word ekra is in the future tense. I will call. Says the Al-Sheikh, Bekabli olai lahalalo, when I accept upon myself to praise him, that means I'm not praising him yet. Once I undertake to praise Hashem, she'ekro ehu, that I will call him Mehulal, I'll call him the praised one, behoshi'i, when he saves me. In other words, David is saying, I hereby undertake that when Hashem saves me in battle, then I will call him the Mehulal, then I'll call him the praised one. As soon as I make that undertaking, Hayisi Nosha, I am instantly saved. Because Ekra is in the future tense. Mehulal Ekra Hashem, I will call Hashem Mehulal. Right now, I'm not doing it yet. I'm going to do it. And I'll do it when Hashem saves me. The salvation is instantaneous. I'm saved straight away. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns the pasuk.
It's the way he saved. Because he says I will praise you when I'm saved.
I will praise you when I'm saved. And I'm saved straight away. Yeah.
Okay.
That's how the Al-Sheikh learns it.
Yeah.